Man, what a great truth in song.
Amen.
I'm glad it's finished.
Amen.
I'm glad Jesus didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. And one day the devil's going to be finished.
Amen.
That's right. And I'm glad when that will happen. I'm looking for a day where I can go to a place where the devil won't be there. That's right. And if you're saved, you're going to a place where the devil won't be there. Now, if you're not, you're going to a place where the devil will lord there. And I trust if you do not know what it is to be saved in God's grace, that you will understand, as was saying today, it is finished. It's finished. You say, well, I'm trying to work my way. That's not what salvation's about. Salvation's not about you working. It's about you trusting. The work's been done. Amen. That's what that song was about. It's finished, brethren. It's finished. And I'm glad that Jesus finished the work that God gave him to do. He prayed that in John 17. He said, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Therefore, glorify thyself in thy Son. For I have come to do what you sent me to do. Aren't you glad that Jesus finished the work? Amen. It's done. And so you don't get to heaven by doing. You get to heaven by trusting. You don't get to heaven by works, you get to heaven by faith. You don't get to heaven by merit, you get to heaven by grace. And aren't you glad for that? I know I am. Amen. Well, as has been read in your hearing this morning, these passages of Scripture, we were in them last week and we talked a little bit about, well, I preached to you about suffering, about trials. And I knew as I read through this, that this word afflictions and sufferings and trials, and I'll just say that I want to go back and say that here's what we said. Our trials are unsettling because we can be moved by them, and we find that at the end of verse number 1 where he said that, you know, I don't want you to be moved, or verse number 3, I'm sorry, I don't want you to be moved by these afflictions, that no man should be moved by those afflictions. And then we said, number 2, our trials are appointed. Look also in verse number 3, he said, for we are appointed thereunto. And this is just a fact about trials, about persecution, about suffering, about difficulty, about distresses, brethren. They're going to happen to us. And then he said, the third thing we talked about last week is in verse number 4, they're necessary. Verse number 4 says, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. And so we talked about that. We preached it from the Scripture. And then the fourth thing, our trials are dangerous. Verse number 5, the last part of that says, some means the tempter having tempted you, and our labor be in vain. We have an enemy, and he wants to tempt you away from God's purpose and God's will for your life. And we need to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to stay filled with the Spirit. Amen. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to live in the Spirit. We need to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, the last thing that I didn't get into this is, you know, our trials are and should be productive. And we'll talk more about that as we continue our study through 1 Thessalonians. I want to go back in these Scripture now and take just a little bit of a different angle. As I sit down at my desk this past week, I had some notes about moving forward into the remainder of this chapter, but God just wouldn't let me go on to verse number 9. Now, there's some great truths in verse number 9 through verse number 13 about prayer, about intercession. But the Lord said, no, I want you to stay right here. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do what God wants us to do. I want to preach to you and speak to you this morning about a servant's heart. Because not only in these verses of Scripture, in verses 1 through 7, does the Apostle Paul talk about the afflictions that come to us in life and how we are to understand them and how we are to prepare for them and even how we are to position ourselves so that we can get what God has for us, not by asking why, but asking what, not by being a victim, but by being a student. Remember, we talked about that. Don't go through life as a victim. Always, you know, well, I got done wrong. Well, this situation wronged me. Well, these people wronged me. Well, that church wronged me. Well, this family member wronged me. We're not victims, brethren. We're victors. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. And so we want to approach life that way as a student. God wants me to learn something from the trials, from the things that I go through in life. And he wants you to learn something too. Now I want to flip it around a little bit. We talked about the people and the trials. Now let's look at the pastor's heart or the spiritual leader. If you want to be a spiritual leader, if you want to have an impact, then I hope you'll listen very carefully to what the Apostle Paul does here. And I just want to go through some things and talk with you about the heart of a servant. Do you have a servant's heart? Do you? And you know, we have to be careful with that question because the Bible teaches that, you know, every man he'll think more highly of himself than he ought and will think, well, I'm there, when really we're still in training. And so let's see what the apostle says here that we should do and how that we can have a servant's heart and even have a greater heart to serve. I want you to notice with me in verse number 1 and verse number 5, something the Apostle Paul says. He said, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear. Look at verse number 5. He says it again. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear. When I just couldn't take it any longer. Now, what are you talking about, Paul? As a shepherd, as an overseer, as someone who is concerned about people. When you go back in chapter 2 and you look at verse number 17, he said, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart. He said, oh, no. You see, a servant's heart, and here's the word I want you to write down. A servant's heart is a heart of affection. He cares about the people he's serving. He cares about them. And he says, we endeavor, look at this, the more abundantly to see your face. He said, I just want to be with you. It's a heart of affection. When a pastor loves his people know it, amen? When a Sunday school teacher loves his or her class, their students know it. When a church family, when you love one another, when we love one another, we know that. And so here, the scripture, the Apostle Paul was saying, you need to have a servant's heart. And really, he's showing it. I like what one man said. He said in chapter 1, we see a pastor's work. And that's really what he does. And then in chapter 2, we see a pastor's who he is. And that's his character. We also see in chapter 2 what he says. That's his message or his thought. He said in chapter 2, if you look at it just for a moment, in verse number 4, he said, in verse number 2, he said, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God. That's what a pastor says. That's what he preaches. Look at verse number 4. He said it again. He said, but we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we what? Speak. And so what a pastor says, that's his message. That's his thoughts. But this is not about what a pastor does or who a pastor is or what a pastor thinks. This is about what a servant feels. It's his heart. And Paul said, I have affection for you. You know, God's people ought to be the most loving people on all the earth. Amen. When you're filled with the Spirit of God says the Bible says in Romans 5 that the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. We ought to love one another even also as God loves us. As Jesus loves us. Amen? As I have loved you, he said, you ought to love one another. And so Paul said, I love you. And he said, I just wanted to know what was going on with you. Can I tell you, when you love people, you're not going to distance yourself from them. You're going to want to know what's going on in their life. And even if you're like the Apostle Paul. Now listen, he was taken. We looked at this. He was taken from their presence. He had to leave Thessalonica in short order, on a short notice. But he wrote back to them, and he said, you know, he said, I want to know. I just couldn't take it any longer. I draw your attention once again to verse number 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, I just couldn't take it. I had to know how you were doing. Why? I have an affection for you. I have an affection for you. Look at verse 5. He said it again. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. I wanted to know how you were doing. When you love the people that you're shepherding, when you love the people that you're serving, you want to know how they're doing. You just don't want to see them on a here and there. You're concerned. You have an affection. And Paul certainly wanted them to know how much he loved them and he cared for them. You know, I want you to know how much I love you. And I believe we have people in this church who are over ministries, who teach Sunday school, who are deacons, and certainly our pastors. And we all ought to feel this way. We ought to love one another. And you say, well, preacher, we do love one another. Well, we'll talk more about that in just a moment. We ought to have an affection one for another. We ought to be concerned one for another. Concern will cause you and I to do things, well, that drive us. We must know. We see it here. Paul said, I could forbear no longer. I just couldn't forbear any longer. I had to take action. We don't love just in word and tongue, brethren. We love in deed and in truth, the scripture says. And so God help me and God help you. Now I thought about this, and I'll mention this about each one of these points. I thought about the Lord Jesus. What a great example of loving and having affection for those in whom he ministered to. There were often times that Jesus looked out over the multitude, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion because he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus said this. He said, I am, in John 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. And he said, I know my sheep and they are known of mine. And he said, the good shepherd in John 10, 15, lays down his life for his sheep. You see, that's affection. That's not just affection in word. The Apostle Paul said, I loved you so much, I had to do something about it. Now, no one can make you. It's one thing when we do things out of duty, and I'm not saying that there's not times that I do things out of duty, that you do things out of duty, that we all, listen, there's just times when we ought to do things out of duty. But I believe that the thing here is the heart. The heart was compelling this man to find out about a people. Do you have people in your life that way? Do you care that way about your church family, about your pastors, about your leaders? I hope that you do. The Apostle Paul didn't mind putting it out there about how he cared about them. Amen? Amen. The second thing I want you to notice is his unselfishness. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens. Look at that next word, alone. You know, the Apostle Paul, I don't have time to go into the background here, but you know how he and his missionary team, primary Silas and Timotheus, had to get out of town and in the house of Jason. They drug Jason out and all of that. But they went to Athens. And when you read in the book of Acts about some things that took place there, Paul sure could have used. Now the Bible doesn't say so, but history tells us that Silas went to Macedonia and that Timotheus was there with Paul. Now this is why Paul said, you know, I'm willing to be alone. Now, here's the heart of a servant. It's unselfish. A servant's just not concerned about his needs and him. He's concerned about the needs of others. Amen. Amen. Unselfishness. Are you unselfish? When it comes to others, am I unselfish? Am I an unselfish pastor? Do I just want to make a name for myself, to build an empire? Do I just want to have my name on a list or to be on you know, a speaker at every conference? And I'm not belittling those that do. I'm not. Thank God for some people that God is using that way. I'm just saying, if that's the motive, if that's the purpose behind it all, if that's why you teach Sunday school, if that's why you use your talent in singing, or you're on a mission committee, or you're the deacon here at the church, that's just not the proper motive. And the Apostle Paul said here, he said, I thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Now, when Paul wrote this letter, he was in Corinth. And he said, you know what? I was willing to give up my right-hand man. If you look at verse number 2, he said, I sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. He said, I sent a good man. I could have used his help. Now, he's not saying that, but it's there. Do you see what he's saying? It's there. He said, there's just times that you're going to have to make a decision that's not best for you. There's just times I've got to make a decision that doesn't have my best interest in mind. There's just times that you're going to have to make a decision that's going to cost you something. If you're going to be a servant of God, if I'm going to be a servant of God, if we're going to serve God with a heart that God is looking for, we're just going to have to make some decisions. It's going to cost us something, brethren. It's going to cost us something. And the Apostle Paul could have used a good man like Timothy to stand beside him with those infidels and with those idol worshipers in Athens. And even as he went on to Corinth, because that's where Timothy eventually reported back to him when he was in Corinth with this report that he received about the church at Thessalonica. And so be unselfish. If I'm going to have a servant's heart, if I'm going to be a good pastor, if I'm going to be a good leader, a spiritual leader, if you're going to be a good servant of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to be unselfish. And again, I defer to my Savior, to my shepherd. How unselfish was our Savior? It was about us. It was always about us. Amen? It still is always about us. It's just he lived his life for others. Amen. Others, brethren. That's what it's about. Others. When I am walking with God, when I am filled with the Spirit, my life is always about Jesus and others. Someone said the proper way to spell joy is J for Jesus, O for others, and Y for yourself. You have to be unselfish. And so the Apostle Paul was saying here, you know, I thought it good that I would be left here in that word alone. You know, if you're going to have a servant's heart, sometimes you're just going to have to serve alone. Now you are. And you can't look around. You say, well, he's not doing it. Well, she's not doing it. Well, they're not doing it. Well, listen, you remember what Jesus told John, Peter, when Peter asked about John? Well, what about him? He said, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, and I like my paraphrase here. He basically said, Peter, won't you mind your own business? You let me tell John what he's going to do. You just get concerned about what I told you to do. Amen. 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 And sometimes God has to tell me that. He does. Now, you just stay in your lane, Dale Freeman. You stay in your lane. I've given you something to do. You get busy doing what I gave you to do. And don't you get concerned. Now, I'm not talking about ministering to other people. I'm talking about in the duties. As a pastor, I am concerned about what you do. And if I ever get unconcerned about what you're doing, I've messed up. But now, as far as what God has called you to do, it is my place to support you in that. If God's called you to do it, it's going to be biblical, and I want to help you fulfill that in your life. You understand what I'm saying? So number one, he said, it's a heart of affection. Do you have a heart of affection? Now, really, you have to answer these questions. I can't answer them for you. Now, I answered them in my own heart when I was doing this, and that was tough. Number two, a heart of unselfishness. Brethren, God help me to serve in a way that's going to be for the greater good of his people and his kingdom. And not just always be looking for ways that I'm going to benefit from it. You'll never get too far in God's work approaching it that way. Number three is a heart of compassion. Look, if you would, in verse number two. Verse number two, he said, I sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Now, here's what he sent him to do. He said, Timothy, I have an assignment for you. Please don't miss this assignment, please. He said, I want you to go to Thessalonica, and I want you to establish those people there, and I want you to comfort that body of believers there concerning their faith. You see that? As a matter of fact, here's what I'd like for you to do if you write in your Bible. If you write in your Bible, I want you to take a highlighter or a pen and underline some things for me. You see the latter part of verse number two where it says concerning your faith? See, this is what Paul was concerned about. He wasn't concerned about their offering. Now listen, it takes offerings to do the work of God. Amen. He wasn't concerned about how they were going to applaud him and bolster him and promote him and talk about him and appreciate him. You ought to appreciate your spiritual leaders. You ought to pray for them. Amen. That's right. And you ought to support them. But Paul's concern was their faith. How are you doing spiritually? Do you think that your pastor thinks about you spiritually? Can I tell you there's not a person in this room, with the exception of those that are visiting, and I want to say it's good to have the Mays family with us today. We're glad that they're here. But I think everyone else, maybe a bus rider or two, and we're glad you're here. But I want you to know something. I constantly think about the spiritual condition. You say, preacher, you think that about me? Yes. Even me? Yes, even you. Yes. I sure hope you think about my spiritual condition. I sure hope you think, well, I hope the pastor's doing okay. I hope the pastor's staying strong. God, keep your hand on my pastor. God, keep your hand on my pastors. Don't let my pastors get out of bounds. God, protect them. God, surround them. God, help them. God, fill them with your Holy Spirit. God, deliver them. Give them the message that we need. Help my heart to be open. Amen. Help me to be sensitive. Help me to go and show my pastor and my pastors, I care what you are saying. I hear what you're preaching. I'm coming back Sunday night to hear it again. I'm going to be there Wednesday to hear it again. I love when you feed us the Word of God. I like the way you break down the Word of God and tell me what God wants in my life. I like it when you warn me of sin. I don't dislike you for that, Pastor. I realize every message can't be an uplifting and comforting and exhorting and establishing. But preacher, I want you to know, I like it when you wave the yield sign and say, now, wait a minute, hold up. I like it when you put the stop sign up with sin and when you say, don't you go there now. Don't you go there. God has warned against that. I like it when you put the U-turn up there and say, you better turn around. You're headed in the wrong direction. I like it when you lay your hand on my shoulder and say, I'm praying for you. There's something missing in your life. Something's going awry. Something's going astray. You need to turn around now. Something's not right. You're headed in the wrong direction. Hey, preacher, I'm not mad at you because of that. I'm not mad at you, Pastor. I know you're a God's man, and if you're going to do it God's way, you're going to have to preach the whole council. Amen. I like it when Pastor David or Pastor BJ or Pastor Brandon stand up here, or we have a vision evangelist or a preacher, and they tell us just what God said, just the way he said it. Amen. We like that, preacher. Now preach it to us in love. Don't skin us so raw to where we're burning, and that's all we get is just a daily dosage or a weekly dosage of being skint and sheared. Tell us that God loves us. Show us that you love us, preacher. Because we don't know, we don't care how much you know until we know how much you care. And so he said here, he said, your faith. You see that? Look at the end, or right at the beginning of verse number 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know what? Your faith. Look at verse number 6. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of what? Your faith. Verse number 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you all in all our affliction and distress by what? Your faith. Look at the last part of verse number 10. He said, I'm praying exceedingly in verse number 10. Why? That I might come to you and perfect that which is lacking in what? Your faith. See, Paul cared about these people's spiritual condition. And I care about your spiritual condition. And I pray that you care about one another's spiritual condition. We're to exhort one another. And so much the more. That's why we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Brethren, we're a family. And we have to understand that sometimes we're all we've got, right? You're not going to get a lot of spiritual encouragement out in the world. This world's no friend of grace. I'm not saying go out there with an attitude, and I'm not saying go out there and condemn everyone, but I am saying understand where your backup's at. Understand where your support group is. And you're not going to come to church every time and the preacher hit a home run. It's okay to pat him on the back when he strikes out. Amen. It's an amazing thing to me that we teach our parents, your kid's in Little League, and if he hits a home run, cheer, but if he strikes out, cheer. Why about doing that for your pastor? Amen. Amen. And I know you love me. Listen, I know that, but sometimes we just forget, don't we? We just forget. Spiritual leaders, your Sunday school teacher, you need to tell your Sunday school teacher, thank you for studying the Word. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you. Teach your children. You tell your children that they have Sunday school teachers, you send them with a little note, or you sit them down and tell them to write a little note to their teacher and let them know how much they appreciate them. You do it at school. Do it at Sunday school. Amen? Amen. Spiritual leaders are important, the most important people in your life and in the lives of your family. Spiritual leaders. He had a heart of compassion. And the Bible says that he sent. Are you there in verse number 2, the latter part? He said, I sent Timothy, and I sent him for this purpose. I sent him to establish you and to comfort you. That word establish, it means to stand firm, to strengthen. And that word comfort means to just stand firm and to exhort. And so he said, I sent Timothy to strengthen you. Now I want you to watch this. Don't you miss this. You need a little strength today? Do you? Now we've got to remember, we're talking about spiritual leaders, what spiritual leaders do. Spiritual leaders don't always coddle. Now there's nothing wrong with telling someone you love them. There's nothing wrong with telling someone that you're praying for them and that you're standing beside them. But that's not all that spiritual leaders do. There's a time, and here I could show you over and over. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you just a few. This is just a few. Before I give you what strengthening is, I want you to see what the Apostle Paul does in his ministry. I could go over and over again. Right here, to this church right here. Now remember, infant church. Infant church. Had to leave after 3 Sabbath days. Okay? You remember. Notice what he said. He said, I'm sending Timothy in verse number 2, the last part. He said, to establish you and to comfort you. Now that's a mission, brethren. You know, that was on Paul's heart. Why? He loved them. He was unselfish. He wanted them to get this ministry. This is important. What is this ministry? We need to know what this ministry is, that Paul was being willing to be left alone in Athens and send Timothy to these people. It's important. He said it again in verse number 13. Look at it in chapter 3. He said, to the end, he may, meaning God, may establish your hearts. There it is. He said, everything that I do, I'm hoping to the end result is that God would strengthen your heart, that God would settle some things in you, that you would stand firm on what you believe in your faith. If you go over to chapter number 4. Look at chapter number 4 there. He said, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and here it is, exhort you. You see that? Same word. We exhort you. We charge you. Stand. Stand firm. Don't quit. Don't turn back. Stay with the stuff. Amen. He said it again in chapter 4, down in verse number 10. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. And we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Just increase in this being strengthened. Get stronger. Don't turn back. Don't give up. Don't even lighten up. Hey, man, that's what he's saying. Stick with it. You get over to 2 Thessalonians. He's writing in this second epistle. And I want you to notice with me what he's saying here. Turn, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians. Look at chapter 2, verse 17. There's our two words again. You see it in chapter 2? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse number 17. He said, he's saying, may God comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. Word and work. You see that? The same two words. Comfort. Establish. Exhort. Strengthen. Why? It's important. It's important. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians. Look at verse number 12. Now them that are such, we command to what? We command and exhort. That's our word right there. To strengthen through exhortation. I want you to hold your hand in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and turn with me just briefly to the book of Acts, okay? Just briefly, and then we'll come back and I have some concluding remarks by a couple of more points. I want you to look at this, okay? Look, if you would, and I do not have time to go through. I run some references, and I wish I had time in this message to go through and show you the many times that the Apostle Paul circled back and he's done what I'm preaching to you today. Now, how do you strengthen people? Now, think about that with me just for a moment. Let your brain go to work, okay? I know sometimes when you're listening, sometimes it's easy to let your brain and your mind wander and you're thinking about all kinds of things. But could I ask you to put it in gear and get to thinking now? What does this look like? We know what it says, okay? It says, I sent Timothy to establish you and to comfort you. Now, what's that going to look like? What's Timothy going to go there and do? In your mind, if I told you, now listen, tonight I want you to come to church, our Timothy, we have Pastor David who's going to stand, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to establish you and comfort you. What would you be looking for? Now think about it just for a moment with me, because this is so important. It's so important. The Apostle Paul said, I'm willing to stay here alone. I care about you so much. I have an affection for you. I do not want to be a selfish spiritual leader. I'm willing to be here alone, and I'm going to send my right-hand man to you to establish you and to comfort you. What did Timothy do when he got there? You say, preacher, do you know? I absolutely know. Because the Bible interprets itself. Amen. God will tell us exactly what it is. Acts 14, are you there? Turn to Acts 14 just for a moment. The book of Acts chapter 14. And I'm just going to give you a few because my time's about up, but I do want you to get these. Over and over again, you can read through the writings of the Apostle Paul, and you find where Paul, this is what made his ministry very, very strong. Because he was concerned about the strength of those he was ministering to. He didn't just win them and move on. He didn't just unload on them and then go to the next station to unload. No, Paul always had a heart for people. God, give me that heart. God, don't let me be that kind of person that just is selfish and pick and choose those who I have affection for. I want to have affection for all people, don't you? Absolutely you do. If you're saved, you do. If you're not, listen, you need to get some things right. Acts 14, look at verse 21. The scripture says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, Acts 14, verse 21, and had taught many, they turned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now what did they do? They confirmed, and what does it say there in verse number 22? They confirmed and exhorted. They strengthened them. Now how do you do that? How do you confirm? How do you strengthen? Look at chapter 15. Chapter 15 of Acts. Acts 15. And this will be the final one before I get back into 1 Thessalonians 3. Acts 15, look at verse number 32. Acts 15, verse 32. Are you there? Here's old Judas and Silas. They were prophets also themselves. Here they are. They exhorted the brethren with what? Many words. How do you exhort people? You preach to them. Amen. How do you strengthen people? You preach to them. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You preach. Now, I like what the Bible says here in verse number 32. I've been accused of this. They did it with many words. You're not going to strengthen too many people with a little microwave situation. You got to put that thing on bake and let it sit a while. Amen. And so they exhorted, the Bible says. And look again, verse number 35 it is. I'm sorry, 30, yes, 35. Nope. Thank you. 32. Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words, and what did they do? Confirmed them, which means it strengthened them. They were confirmed. I am a Christian. I am serving Jesus. I am going to fulfill God's will for my life. A confirmation is what every Christian needs, and they're strengthened. Look at verse 41, the way the chapter ends. And they went through Syria and Cecilia confirming the churches. Cilicia, I should have said. Confirming the churches. So as we go back to 1 Thessalonians now, having a servant's heart is a heart of compassion. I care that you're growing. I want you, listen, Paul knew these people had been through a hard time, and he said, I don't want you to faint. I don't want you to become weary in well-doing. And so I sent Timothy to know your faith. I want to know where you were in your life. If I, as your pastor, see you going in the wrong direction, or I recognize some things and I don't come to you, God have mercy on me. It's not because I don't care. Sooner or later, I would hope that God would help me to know that person's in trouble. I would hope you would do the same for me. And I mean that when I say it. That's not just words. I mean that. Brethren, when you have a servant's heart, you care about people. Amen? Yes. And so I said a servant's heart is a heart of affection. A servant's heart is a heart of unselfishness. A servant's heart is a heart of compassion. And I don't have to tell you the compassion that our Savior has for us. We can cast all of our care upon Him, for He careth for us. Amen? Amen. Well, let me give you these, and I'll say these in brevity because we'll pick up some on this next week, but I do want to mention these. It's a heart of protection. Look at chapter 3, verse number 5. Are you back in 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by any means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. He said, I was concerned. And I sent Timothy to strengthen you as a way of protecting you. You see, a spiritual leader that cares for you, a Sunday school teacher that loves you, that wants what's best for you, that has your good in mind, God's glory in mind, is going to do just exactly that. He's going to be protective. I'm very concerned about what people listen to. We had a bookstore here for a short period of time. I would like to open that store again, and I'm very concerned about the books that people read. You say, well, preacher, that's none of your business. I beg your pardon. It's much of my business. You're under my watch care. I hope you're concerned about the books that I read. If you're not, you're not thinking enough of your pastor. I'm concerned about the music we listen to. I hope you're concerned about the music I listen to. I'm concerned about the things that we watch and see. You say, now, wait a minute. Now, that's getting out of bounds there. You're taking this servant thing a little too far. Well, the Bible says that as a pastor, I'm to watch for your soul. And you know, actually, as a church body, and I know we have to be cautious with this, and we have to do it in love, but we have to be concerned about what's going on with other people. You see somebody that comes to church on a hit and a miss, and they say they're a Christian, they're a member of this church, it ought to concern you. You say, well, that's none of my business, preacher. I beg your pardon. You don't understand the scripture. You do err, Jesus said. You do always err, not knowing the scripture. And sometimes folks don't know. Now, I know, listen, I know what it is to be a dictator. Well, I don't know what it is, but I know what it is to be under one. I've been under one, a couple in my life. And that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying here is that Paul was protective over them. You think a shepherd's protective over his sheep? You think Jesus is protective over us? Well, sure he is. Amen. Sure he is. Have you missed church for 6 months and no one called? Checking on you? You ever had that happen? Don't raise your hand, especially if you're a member here. Now, I'm not talking about those who come to church on a hit and a miss. Listen, it's hard to keep up with those folks. You never know where they are, what they're doing. I'm talking about a member, a faithful member, and you've missed and you haven't been checked on. Does that offend you? Would that offend you? I would hope so. You say, well, preacher, you're talking about yourself. I hope you would get offended at me and even a little out of sorts with me. Where's my pastor? But now, let me say this. if you miss church for Sunday night and the pastor were to contact you, would you get offended by that? So you get offended if you miss 6 months and the preacher doesn't get with you. But if you miss a Sunday night service and the pastor or the preacher says, hey, we missed you, where were you? You get offended. Hey, that's none of your business. Well, how is it his business when you miss 6 months, but it's not when you miss one service? I don't understand that. You can see me after the service next week. I'm leaving after the service this week. I'm getting out of town. I'm leaving the service after this week. But listen, listen to me. It is my responsibility. I do care about you. And if I don't, I'm not a good pastor. And I'm making no bones about it. You judge me by this book right here. I don't have a problem with it. I'm going to be judged by it anyway. I am. My time is up. But I do want to leave with this one last thought. We'll come back to that one. Okay, protection. Did you notice what he said in verse 7? Verse number 6 and 7, he said, you know, Timothy brought us a good report. Look at this word, good tidings. Good tidings. He said, man, he said, I was delighted to hear. You know, a servant's heart has a delightful heart. I tell people all the time, the people of Fellowship Baptist Church are some of the finest people I know. I tell you that. But I want you to know it goes outside of this church. I tell people that. You're some of the finest people I know. It is an honor to pastor you. I mean that when I say it. I'm blessed. You say, well, preacher, that's not what caused me to love you. I'm not saying that so you'll love me. If you don't love me anyway, there's very little I can say to cause you to love me. That's something God will have to do in your heart. I'm telling you that because that's my heart. Not because I want it to be your heart. I'm telling you that because this is my heart. Paul was delighted. They were delighted in him, and Paul said, you know what? I'm delighted in you. A servant's heart is that way, isn't it? You count it a delight in the people that you serve. You just do. And if you don't, well, you need to pray and ask God to help you to have a delight in the people you serve. So that's the message that God's laid on my heart out of these scriptures. Do you have a servant's heart? There's so much more. We'll pick up here a little bit next week. We'll pick up in that verse 7 and 8, and then we'll move into 9, the Lord willing, through 13. Because a servant's heart also has gratitude. You'll see that there in verse number 9. And it's a heart of intercession. He intercedes for his people. A servant prays for those he serves. Do you have a servant's heart? Do you? Do you have an affection for people? An unselfishness toward people? A compassion to people? Protective of those that you serve and those that God has called you to minister to and to minister over? And then there's a delight. Is it a delight? I hope that it is. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Okay? So the Apostle Paul, he loved his people. And he fed them. And he warned them. He told them, he said, listen, he said, he told those folks in Ephesus, he said, I'm not going to be gone long. And he said, just, it won't be long at all. And grievous wolves are going to come in and scatter the flock. And he warned people. And he put up warning signs and stop signs, and he preached against sin, and he said, God's called you to walk a life that is worthy, a holy life. But he did it all in love. How about you? How do you minister to people? What kind of heart do you have? You have a servant's heart or a hard heart? Would you bow your head with me just for a moment? I want you to ask yourself that question. Lord, in your eyes, not in the preacher's eyes, not in others' eyes, but God, in your eyes, what kind of heart do I have? Lord, you know. Lord, you know. What kind of heart do you have this morning?